Let me invite you to put me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. And my text today is from verse 12 down to verse 18.
Tatene titsegureni mabhuku athu kuchokera mbuku la Exodus chapter 30 ndipo uthenga wa tsiku la lero kuchokera mu verse la 12 kufika pa ndimeke
ya 8. Chapter 33. So Exodus 33, beginning with verse 12, we read, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight."
Mundimeke 12 ya Exodus chapter 33 ayamba kuti ndipo Mose anati kwa Yehova, "Taonani, inu munena ndine kweranawo anthu awa. Koma simunandidziwisa amene muzantuma amuke nane. Koma munati ndikudziwa dzina lako, wapezanso ufulu pamaso panga."
Verse 13 of Exodus 33. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Verse 14, "And he said," that is, God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest."
Verse 15,
"And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence."
Verse 16,
"For wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth."
Mundimeya 16 akuti pakuti tidziwika ndi chiyani tsopano kuti ndapeza ufulu pamaso panu ine ndi anthu anu. Sipakukumuka nafe inu kuti ine ndi anthu anu tisiyane ndi anthu onse akukhala pa dziko pa nkhope ya dziko lapansi.
Verse 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name."
Ndimeya 17, ndipo Yehova anati kwa Mose, "Ichi chomwe wanenachi ndidzachichita, pakuti wapeza ufulu pamaso panga ndipo ndikudziwa dzina lako."
And then verse 18, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory."
Ndimeya 18, akuti ndipo anati, "Ndioneseniitu ulemerero wanu."
So what we're looking at here is Moses' prayer to God. In it, there is much that we can learn about what it is to seek the Lord. But more importantly, here's a prayer of Moses as the mediator for that people that the Lord had given him.
And
we can learn much from this as to how our Lord Jesus Christ would have prayed for those that the Father gave him.
Amen.
It's clear here that he's not praying for a people that is just or righteous before God, just the opposite. If you look back into the previous chapter in Exodus chapter 32, you can see that Israel had just been condemned for its idolatry and worship of the golden calf. And yet, because God had purposed to deliver this people and bring them into the promised land, he did not destroy them. Yes, he did punish them. And the golden calf was destroyed, and yet the Lord was merciful.
And
so at the beginning of this chapter, in Exodus 33, the Lord tells Moses now to continue the journey with this rebellious and stiff-necked people, and that the Lord would indeed bring them into the promised land, not because of their faithfulness, but because of his faithfulness. But here's the part that concerned Moses that caused him to cry out to the Lord. In verse 2 of this chapter in Exodus 33, the Lord said, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land, verse 3, flowing with milk and honey. But here's the point. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. This is where it caused Moses to cry out to God and say, if you do not go up with us, do not remove us from here. And you can see even the people when they heard this in Exodus 33 and verse 4, when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. And that's where the Lord said unto Moses, verse 5, for the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee.
Here
we see a picture of God's just wrath against all sin and sinners, apart from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his intercession for his people. When he says, put off thy ornaments from thee, there in verse 5, the last part, that I may know what to do unto thee, this is the very ornaments that they had used to make the golden calf. And now God purposed that those ornaments should be put off and that he be worshiped through Christ alone, represented there in the tabernacle.
And
that's where we read there in verse 6 and 7 that the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp.
Nachicha chihema chokomanako ndipo kunakhala kuti yese wakufuna Yehova anatuluka kunka kuchihema chokomanako unja kwa chigono.
Now here's where we have again a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the mediation of Moses on behalf of the people, but even in that tabernacle in what it represented.
Ndipo abanso tikutha kuona chithunzi-thunzi cha Ambuye wa Yesu Kristu.
You can see there that in verse 8, it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It's not like people say today that everybody better go before the Lord themselves. No, every man stood at his tent door. Apart from the mediator, which Moses represents, there can be no grace, there can be no mercy.
Now in verse 9,
it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That cloud that accompanied the children of Israel throughout their sojourn in the wilderness also represented the Lord Jesus Christ, God's presence with his people in the cloud. This shows that God's blessing was upon Moses. It says he talked with Moses.
Now,
That cloud was called the Shekinah glory. It was the cloud of glory, and it represented God's presence, first of all with Moses, but then with the people in mercy. This is what the Apostle John spoke of in John chapter 1 and verse 18. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that's the tabernacle, and we beheld his glory, that's the cloud. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And
coming back to our text in Exodus 33, verse 10, all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle, the door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. They had to remain at a distance, but it was Moses that represented them before God. Here again, we see Moses as a representative, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And
then verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses. So this is leading up to my text here in verse 12. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle.
Monga muntu alankula bwenzilache, ndipo anabwelera kunka kuchigono koma mtumiki wache Yoswa, mwana wa Nuni ndiye mnyamata nsinku wache sana choka mchihemacho.
And even here we see Joshua as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is the same name Jesus in Greek. It means God saves.
Ndipo tikamaona sotu apa dzina lomwe laonetsedwa abvala Yoswa uyu. Yoswa uyu ndi chithunzi-thunzi cha Ambuye wathu Yesu Khristu chifukwa ngakhale dzina ilili alonena kuti Yoswa lili matanthauza kuti ye a Yesu amene ndi mpulumusi wa anthu ache.
So in light of the sin of the people, in light of their being stiff-necked, that's why we find in verse 12 through 18 Moses interceding. As a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses is not interceding for all of the idolaters of the world. He's interceding for this people that God had given him. And so it is with the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in John chapter 17. You see, in our text, Moses was praying that God should manifest his glory. Here in John 17, that's exactly the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as he prepared to go to the cross. In verse 1 of John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Even as Moses was praying for God's presence to accompany him, so even here our Lord Jesus Christ is seeking his Father, that his presence would be with him in that work of intercession for his people. Now again, with Moses, he was not interceding for all of the idolatrous nations around him. It was for that people that the Father had given him. We can see that in verse 2, John 17. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It is true that Moses and ultimately Joshua would be given power over those other nations to drive them out, but it wasn't for their salvation. The reason Moses was interceding for this people, rebellious though they were, is because he was asking God's power to deliver them. Even here it says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Those that preach or believe that somehow Jesus was interceding for every single person in the world, they've never known the scriptures. And they don't know God. That's what Christ said here in John 17 and verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, even Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Today, in most pulpits, eternal life is something that man does by making his decision, and then God, in exchange, gives them eternal life. That's not what the scriptures teach. Eternal life, according to John 17:3, is the knowledge of the true God revealed in Jesus Christ. And so, as Moses, so Christ, his prayer was not for everybody. That's clear when you read in verse 9, Christ said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
And
coming back to my text here in Exodus 33, this is exactly what Moses prayed when he said, Now therefore, verse 33:13, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider, notice, that this nation is thy people. Not everybody, but this nation. Here we see that Moses is very earnest with God, even as Christ was with his father. How important is the intercession of Christ for his people? It's only by the intercession of Christ, by his life and by his death, that any are saved from ruin and become entitled to that everlasting glory, everlasting happiness. But he's not pleading to God on the basis of good works or merit on the part of the people. He's pleading for God's grace. Not only for himself, because he says that in verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, and further on, that I may find grace in thy sight, and then grace for the people. Now we know that Jesus Christ come in the flesh was none other than the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And yet, as we read over there in John chapter 17, he did not take that for granted. Even Christ prayed that the Father would glorify him, that the Father would accept him and be gracious to him as that mediator to accept his work on behalf of his people. So just like Moses was sincere, knowing that God had established him and that God's grace was already upon him, yet he, in his earnestness, prays again, that God would manifest his presence with him and going up with that people. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 7 through 9, we see what's described here as our Lord's intercession and his prayers as a man on this earth. Notice in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, it says, and was heard in that he feared. The same urgency that we find with Moses in my text in Exodus 33, crying unto God, knowing what God had promised already, yet that same earnestness we find in the Lord Jesus Christ in praying to his Father. And here's what verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So Moses' fervency in prayer for the people, even knowing that God had promised that he would bring them into the land, we find that same fervency in our Lord Jesus Christ in praying for himself, that God would uphold him through what the Lord, the Father, had given him to do, that indeed, through his obedience, God would be merciful and gracious. And that's why in Hebrews 5:9 it says, and being made perfect. In other words, Christ had to earn and establish that righteousness, that perfection. Verse 9, Christ had to earn and establish that righteousness necessary for God to justify his people. He did it through his suffering. In verse 9 of Hebrews 5, it says, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. When it says all them that obey him, that word obey means hear him. In other words, all those to whom God gives his spirit to hear of Christ, it was for them that he worked out that salvation. So coming back here to my text in Exodus 33 in verses 12 and 13, we see why it is then that Moses is praying for the people. For Moses, it wasn't enough that he and Israel should be made to see and enter in the promised land. He In his mind, at this point, even the promised land was nothing special without the special presence of the Lord. That's why he said, if I have found grace in thy sight. That's what is vital, I believe, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just in the facts that he came, lived, died, and rose again, ascended on high, but that through his intercession, not only that grace that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ should be on him, but on his people, such as we are. Now in verses 14 to 17, we see how God answered Moses' prayer, giving him the promise of his presence. Christ, in coming to accomplish his work, had the promise of the very presence of God the Father with him. Here in verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Because of God the Father's presence with his Son, going with him during his entire time on this earth as the mediator, the rest that the Father gave him was after he had finished the work. All throughout his earthly walk, God the Father was with his Son all the way through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension on high.
And
we know that Christ now is resting from that work because it says he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high with the Father. This is why we can put confidence in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone as sinners, because all of God's blessing and presence was with his Son. Even when our Lord was on earth and praying to his Father, I believe he was praying back many of these scriptures to the Father, asking, even as we read in John 17, for the Father's presence, the Father's blessing on everything that he did. That's why Moses prayed in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But Moses here was not only asking this for himself, but for his people.
Mm-hmm.
When our Lord Jesus Christ was praying to the Father, it was not just for himself that the Father would glorify him, but that that glory should also be manifest to the people. You see his question there in verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that what? I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. And he gives the answer. Is it not, verse 16, in that thou goest with us? How is it that any of us here can have this assurance that God has accepted us? Well, the answer is in that he has accepted his Son. And notice there in verse 16, so shall we be separated, I and thy people. Any that God has separated out to himself by way of salvation or deliverance, it's in conjunction with Christ, our mediator. I and thy people is what Moses said. And there's where we see the Lord granting his blessing in verse 17. He said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Any blessing that would be upon the people would be because God's blessing was on Moses. Any blessing that any of the Lord's people have today is because of God's blessing upon his Son. You say, well, where are the people in all this? They're standing in their tents while Moses was in the tabernacle speaking with God. We don't find anywhere here where any one of the people interjected or inserted themselves. No, this is wholly between Moses and the Lord. And that's the way it is in our deliverance. We're nothing but stiff-necked people, as it says there in verse 5. But thank God for Christ, the mediator, that God has honored and God has blessed with his presence. Now we're going to stop there for this time, and Lord willing, the next time I speak will be from verse 18 down to verse 23, how it was that God manifest his glory. But may the Lord bless what we've heard today and seen a type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and the intercession of Moses. Therein is our rest.
Amen.